So I want to welcome you to this session. This is going to be on meditation. So if you're in the wrong session, you're welcome to exit. I won't be offended at all. As we get started, it's going to be participatory. So I'm going to invite you, if you don't mind, to just come to maybe the front few rows. And I'm going to be leading us in an actual meditation in a few moments. So if you don't mind getting up, this is not an altar call, but I'm going to invite you to come and get a little closer. And then if we have time at the end, I'm going to open it up for questions and for dialogue. I know that for some people, the kind of meditation that I'm going to teach is a little bit controversial. It's biblical, but I want to answer any questions that you might have. So glad you're here. And you know, some folks are from Kelowna, right? So good to have you here, right? I know that they feature Survival Guide for the Soul at your church, right? If I'm not mistaken. Do they do a series on Survival Guide, and do they teach on meditation? So I'd be interested to know how that went over in the Okanagan. So again, great to have you all here. My name is Ken Shigematsu. I serve as a pastor here at 10th Church, if you're not part of the community. So let me begin by asking you a question, if you don't mind. What are some common ways that people in our society today decompress and try to chill out and relax? So just take a minute or so, turn to your neighbor, introduce yourself if you don't know the person, and just ask that question. Okay, so go ahead. Create it up about another 10 or 20 seconds. All right, great. Let's bring it back in. So what did you come up with? What are some ways that people try to relax, chill, decompress in our society? Anyone? Okay. All right. News, TV, relaxing on the couch. Anyone else?
Self-care.
Self-care? Okay. So can you give me an example of that?
Well, it looks different for everybody, but taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like massage.
Or right.
Face mask. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The way people
deep depressed. Yeah. Great. Anyone else?
Prayer.
Prayer? All right. I mean, I'm not necessarily looking for like a particular answer here, but according to the American Psychological Association, we human beings tend to mispredict what will bring us a sense of relief and calm. And so a lot of people think that, say, drinking alcohol or doing drugs will cause them to feel better. Binge watching Netflix, maybe surfing the internet, going shopping. But these particular activities, and when I talk about, say, Netflix or watching a screen, if you do that for more than 2 hours, you'll end up experiencing a little bit of a lift, but you'll end up feeling a little bit more anxious and a bit depressed, perhaps. But there are other activities that we tend to think won't necessarily give us a sense of calm and peace, and these would include playing a sport. Emily is an underwater hockey player. Going for a walk, spending time with family, engaging in certain acts of self-care, and prayer and meditation. This is from a secular organization, the American Psychological Association, that has put forward these findings based on the research. Prayer and meditation is a powerful way to give us a sense of well-being and calm. This is really important because, as my colleague Melissa recently said just a few minutes ago on this stage, we live in this age of anxiety. And meditation is known to be one of the things that can give us a sense of peace and calm. When we engage in intentional slow breathing, it's something that can actually impact the limbic part of our brain, the amygdala, the lower part of the brain, which is much older from a sort of a human development perspective, and the upper part of our brain. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen master, I'll mention this in my main stage talk later today as well, has said that the greatest gift we can give our children, whether they're our own children — he's a Vietnamese monk, so he doesn't have any kids of his own, but the kids are under our care — is the gift of our own happiness. Gabor Mate, a respected psychologist or a psychiatrist here in Vancouver, has said that children, our children, whether our own or someone else's, will swim in the sea of our unconsciousness. And so one of the great gifts that we can give each other, but especially the children under our care, is the gift of our own peace and well-being and calm. And meditation is a pathway to this way of being in the world. Now, some people think that meditation is New Age or Catholic, and you shouldn't do it if you're a Protestant, but it's very biblical. One of the first references to meditation in the Bible comes from Genesis 24:62, where Isaac is meditating in a field, and he lifts his eyes, and who does he see? Do any of you know? It's sort of an obscure verse, so. He sees Rebekah being brought to him, his future wife. And so this verse suggests that when we meditate in God's presence, we become receptive to God's good gifts for us. In the Psalms, we're told, "Be still and know that I am God." In the book of Job, Job prays, "Teach me and I will be quiet." And Jesus regularly spent time meditating, seeking his Father's face in silence in the morning, walking out to a wilderness and solitary place to experience God's peace and love. Now, I know that there are people probably in our churches, whether in Kelowna, Vancouver, or the suburbs, or wherever you're from, that will object to this kind of prayerful meditation. But I think about a story that my brother told me, Mika's dad — this is your dad, so a very credible source, right? When my younger brother and I went trick-or-treating as kids in North Surrey, we were told that if we received an apple, not to eat the apple. Why? When we trick-or-treated, do you know why? Because there might be pins in the apple, or razor blades embedded in the apple. My brother, as Mika knows, Mika's dad, ended up growing up, and he went to journalism school, became a journalist for the CBC, and he learned in journalism school that the whole rumor that there might be a razor blade embedded in an apple on Halloween was just that, simply a rumor. That there has never been a single documented case of anyone placing a razor blade in an apple and giving it to a kid on Halloween. So it turns out that the Smarties, with all the food coloring, were more dangerous than the apples on Halloween. Kids were tossing out the apples, eating the Smarties. Nothing necessarily wrong with eating Smarties, I suppose, in moderation. But we were throwing out something that was actually nutritious and healthy in favor of something that was less healthy. And I feel the same way about prayerful meditation. A lot of people, toss it out thinking it's dangerous, that they're going to be exposed to some bad spirit. But if your intention is to seek the living God, you're using the scriptures, the Bible, to guide you, you can trust the Holy Spirit to protect you. And so I'm going to describe my own practice of meditation. Some of you have probably heard it, like Connie and maybe Emily and some others if you're from here. And then I'm going to lead us in a kind of guided meditation and then point to some resources, some benefits, open it up for some questions, okay? So I'm a very easily distracted kind of person. At any given time, I can feel like there are 127 monkeys jumping around in my head. And so at some point in the morning, I'll simply take some time, as I did this morning, to sit and breathe deeply. So, breathing in through my nose deeply, and then exhaling slowly. Inhaling deeply, exhaling slowly. Little footnote here: when you breathe deeply like that, it's going to help regulate your lower brain and your upper brain. Continue breathing, And then after a while, I start to think, how much time has gone by anyway? How long have I actually meditated for? And so I'll open up a free app. Some of you are familiar with this if you're part of 10th Church, called Centering Prayer. And I'll set a timer for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. False start. The chime goes off as though I were in a monastery being summoned to pray by a bell. Continue breathing in deeply and exhaling slowly. Continue breathing in deeply and exhaling slowly. And then I start to think, after a little while, of all the things I ought to be doing, my to-do list. And so I'll reach for my Bible and maybe just turn to a passage that I'm familiar with. And every time my brain wanders, I will recite the verse. So my brain wanders. Be still and know that I am God. I'm a little distracted by the ambient noise and the voices. Be still and know that I am God. Let me call a little time out here and just comment on my experience of meditation in general. I like to be on the water, whether in a kayak or literally in the water, swimming in the ocean or sailing. And there have been times when I've been out at sea and I have seen salmon jumping out of the water at a 45-degree angle. Last year, I saw a pod of dolphins up close. I showed some of the footage in a recent sermon. There are times when I've seen whales in the distance. And there are times when I'm seated in God's presence, breathing deeply, and I feel surrounded by the beautiful mystery that upholds me and upholds the whole world. It can be a beautiful experience. There are other times when I've been out at sea and I've seen a styrofoam cup bobbing up and down on the surface of the water, maybe an empty Coke bottle, maybe a film of oil. And there are other times when I'm seated silently in God's presence and I feel anxiety rising up inside me, or maybe a painful memory, or maybe a feeling of resentment or anger or envy towards someone. And I just lift these up to God in a simple prayer, and I feel lighter, I feel freer. I continue to breathe deeply. Chime sounds after 15 or 20 minutes, I'm done. I open my eyes and I usually feel just a bit more relaxed and throughout the day just a bit more focused and aware of the presence of Jesus. I was telling some of my colleagues the other day that sometimes when I begin the meditation, I am restless and distracted, but by the end of my meditation, this has become such a ingrained habit for me that I don't want to leave my meditation cushion. I want to stay there, but I've got a job to do that includes more than just meditation, so I get on with my day. But it's really powerful for me. I mentioned that I wanted today or this session to be participatory, so I'm going to invite you to meditate. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand up. You want to just stand up? Just stretch, get comfortable. Okay, yeah, and I want you to be seated now, and I want you to sit in a posture that makes you feel comfortable but also alert, okay? So I want you to take a few deep breaths, breathing in deeply through your nose and then exhaling slowly. Sit in a relaxed but alert way, breathing in deeply and exhaling slowly. And as you breathe in deeply and exhale slowly, remind yourself that you are in the presence of a God who loves you, who cherishes you, so you are being held in love. Continue to breathe in, and then exhale. In the Bible, the Greek and Hebrew words for spirit are the same words that are used for breath, pneuma and ruach. So spirit and breath are the same word. So as you breathe in the Holy Spirit, and then exhale whatever you need to release, anxiety, tension, perhaps a sin that you quietly confess. Breathe in deeply of the Spirit, and then release, let go of whatever you need to let go of. Breathing in deeply, and then exhale slowly. And if your mind wanders, consider using a phrase from Scripture to help focus it. Maybe, be still and know that I am God. Or simply, be still. Continue to breathe in deeply. I'm going to play a little bit of music since there's a little bit of ambient noise. And this is from an app called Insight Timer. I'll just play this. And sometimes I'll have this playing in the background when I'm meditating. Just continue to breathe in deeply. Remember that you're in the presence of love, in the presence of a being who not only accepts you, but cherishes you. And if your mind wanders, use a sacred word from Scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Simply be still. your mind is really busy, as I said, simply count. As you breathe in, one. As you exhale slowly, count two. As you inhale, count three. As you exhale, count four. Your imagination. I want you to visualize Jesus in the distance. If you can imagine his profile, his appearance in the distance, please go ahead and just allow that image to rise in your spirit. Even just the presence of Jesus. See Jesus beginning to walk toward you. Consider his manner of walking, his gait, his stride. He's getting closer to you. And now Jesus walks right up to you and simply stops. And he's looking at you. I want you now to look into Jesus' face and consider his countenance, his facial expression. He's looking at you. How does he appear to you? Jesus opens his mouth and he asks you this question. What is it that you most want from me? Jesus asks you, what do you most want from me? And just sit with that question for a few moments before answering. What is it that you most want from Jesus? Something has risen to your heart, express that in your heart to Jesus now. Jesus, I want, and then just name it. And if something else rises in your heart on the heels of that request, express that to Jesus as well. I want. Desire surfaces to your heart, express that as well. Just continue to savor God's presence. And now I will pray a prayer for us that I prayed this morning. Pray virtually every morning that I've memorized from the Centering Prayer app, and it simply goes like this. I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you do, I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me. And in all your creatures, I wish no more than this. Into your hands, I commend my soul. I offer it with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands with boundless confidence and without reserve. For you are my Father. Now take two or three deep breaths. And when you are ready, in a manner of speaking, come back to the room. Amen. I want you just now just to ponder that experience, so to meditate for a moment on your meditation, if that makes sense, just for a few seconds. What was that like for you? It's about 13 or 14 minutes. And if you're not too uncomfortable, I don't want to put pressure on you, but if you don't mind just turning to your neighbor one more time and maybe just in a word or a phrase, describe that experience to you. Just be honest. For some people, it might be tedious. For others, it might feel peaceful. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You might felt distracted, but just turn to your neighbor, or thanks for coming up, and introduce yourself. Get into groups of two or three, and just take a moment to maybe describe that with the people around you. So go ahead. Just another 20 seconds or so, just briefly share. Okay. All right. We'll open it up a little bit later for Q&A, but anyone want to just respond in terms of just even in a phrase as to what that experience was like for you? Again, there's no pressure, but. Contentment, okay, all right, thank you. Anyone else? Felt loved, okay, thank you, Emily. Great, I'm grateful that you felt that way. Good. Anyone else?
Felt held.
Held, okay. That's wonderful, yeah. I'm going to be talking more about that in my closing session. Content. Loved, held. For some people, it can be anxious. That's normal. For some people, it can be distracting. That's normal. Thomas Keating was a master teacher of meditation. He was a monk. And he said that the goal of this kind of meditation, often called centering prayer, is not perfect attention. What's more important than attention is intention. You can be distracted 1,000 times. That's 1,000 opportunities to return to the Lord. Intention is more important than attention. And so at the end of my closing meditation, when I'm coming to the final stages, part of the reason I asked you to ask Jesus, what is it that you most want, is that I express my deep intentions in that time, that I would love God, that I'd love my wife, son, and family, and that I'd be a person of wisdom. And so you can express your intention through a word or through a phrase at the end of this kind of prayer. This kind of prayer has all kinds of gifts. You feel more content, loved, held. Melissa, as I mentioned, was talking about how we live in an age of anxiety. And so this kind of prayer can literally make you more peaceful and less anxious. I'm going to make sure that I've got the PowerPoint slides here. So it can make us less depressed and more joyful. Kelly McGonigal is a psychologist who teaches at Stanford, and she points out that if you will meditate for as little as between 15 to 20 minutes a day for 4 to 6 weeks, and then we were to do an MR scan on your brain, the scan would show that the neural networks in your brain associated with being able to focus have grown. That's why I need it. I'm probably naturally pretty ADHD, so it really helps me focus. But the gray matter in your brain associated with feeling anxiety and depression will have actually shrunk. So you literally experience more calm and peace. Also, when you breathe deeply and you focus on God or something positive, after 30 seconds, your brain starts to release more dopamine and serotonin. And so that's also a kind of gift as well. So this kind of meditation evokes a lot of peace. When you breathe in deeply through your nose and exhale, it releases nitric oxide, scientists believe, in many cases, which has a natural calming effect. So there are biochemical as well as spiritual things happening in your meditation. This kind of meditation will also make you less reactively angry. So I was tutoring our son Joey, this is a while ago, on math, and he just wasn't getting it as fast as I wanted him to get it. So I was sort of losing my temper, getting frustrated. But then I realized that I meditate. And I know that in meditation, that our anterior cingulate, which actually regulates our emotions, thickens. So if you're a regular meditator, and we do a scan in your brain, we would see that the anterior cingulate in your brain is actually thickening. So you have more capacity in your brain to regulate your emotions. So I wasn't as angry, as flipped out as I would have been otherwise. I still had to apologize to him. This kind of meditation can also reverse the effects of aging. So you like that, right? So how so? Let me try and remember. It actually improves your working memory. So some of you are saying, I need to meditate more. So studies at the University of Pennsylvania in the neuroscience department have shown that this kind of meditation can improve your working memory. And this kind of meditation can also make you more compassionate. So you were saying that self-care is a way to experience relief and calm. And some people feel that this kind of meditation is a bit self-indulgent, maybe like going to the spa. Nothing wrong with going to the spa or getting a massage, but it's really for you. But the fact is, if you become a person who meditates on Christ in the presence of God, according to my friend Hilary McBride, who's a very respected psychologist here in Vancouver, if you do this kind of meditation for 15 to 20 minutes a day for 4 to 6 weeks, you will be more compassionate. In fact, if a disabled person were to walk in the room, you would be 100 times more likely to respond to that person. But perhaps most important of all, this kind of meditation is going to connect you more deeply to God. God is around us all the time, but this kind of meditation opens up the neural pathways for our awareness to God so that we can access the sense of God's presence more quickly. So that obviously is just priceless, to have a greater sense of God's presence in our lives. And I'm going to open it up to Q&A in just a moment, but I also want to say that you don't necessarily need to meditate for long periods of time to get started. So in my book, Survival Guide for the Soul, I feature a note from a friend of mine named Carol, who I saw recently. She's a social worker, mother of young children. And she practiced daily meditation for about 3 months, but because of her demanding schedule, she couldn't keep it up at a regular time. And so she was frustrated, and this is what she wrote. And she did some trial and error. Carol writes, "I am a busy working mom, balancing 2 part-time jobs and 2 young kids. I've always valued having a schedule and doing things at a predictable time, and I felt like if I didn't have my meditation, or if meditation didn't happen before 10:30 p.m., it was too late. Mornings are out for me because of our kids and the busyness of our routine. One thing I discovered is that I could go off schedule and engage in some meditation in the middle of my day. Literally between patients or clients, I would give myself 5 to 10 minutes, close my office door and practice, or I would wait outside one of the kids' lessons and practice in the car. It is extremely centering and re-energizing and clarifies what used to be the haziest part of my day. I think that just because of my nature, I will always be a busy person, but I no longer feel like I have a busy mind. So that's my friend Carol. And some of you have read Survival Guide for the Soul. If you don't have a copy, we've got copies available afterwards. I'm happy to sign. The book table will be open, I think, through lunch hour, and then it'll close. And if you can't afford the $10, all the proceeds go to World Vision and Missions. I'm happy to buy you a copy. I've got a credit card here that works, so you can get one at the book table later if you want. I also want to mention one other story. When I was speaking in Banff in November, I had a friend come by and visit me. He's not a Christian, but he's been reading Survival Guide for the Soul, and he told me that he struggles with anxiety. I knew that. And he said, I read the chapter on meditation, and now I'm meditating for just 5 minutes in the morning, just 5 minutes. And he said, it's really changing my life. It's making a difference. I no longer have anxiety in the morning. By the time the afternoon comes around, I get anxious again. So it's just good for the morning, not so good for the afternoon. But it really does impact the way we experience the world. And as I said earlier, maybe in an age of anxiety, the greatest gift that we can give our children, the children under our care, is the gift of our own happiness and peace. And, you know, Murray Bowen, the founder of Family Systems Theory, said, we can't change anyone else. We want to change other people. The only person we can change is ourselves, but if we change ourselves, we can influence others. And if we become a person of peace and happiness and joy, we're going to be impacting the kids, even maybe especially when we're not overtly teaching them, you know. So I could say more, but let me open it up to Q&A. If you have any questions, push back, be happy to engage in some dialogue before the next session. So any observations, questions?
I was feeling like, if I use this time to talk directly to God, anxiety coming from a certain problem, then I can really pray instead of spending time to meditate. Would that be better or more effective to solve my problem?
It depends, obviously, on your temperament. But yeah, as I was saying, when I engage in this kind of centering prayer meditation, sometimes anxiety rises in my heart, anxious thoughts. I'll lift them up to God in prayer, just name them and lift them up. A couple of Sundays ago, I don't know if you're part of 10th, but I was talking about scripture memory and how I've memorized Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you can engage in, this is not TM, I know what you're talking about, but you can speak in this kind of prayer. You can just let the Holy Spirit guide you. So there's no hard and fast rule. It's just that you're allowing some space for silence so that God could speak to you, or just to enjoy God's presence. And this kind of prayer tends to be really beneficial for the person praying. So there haven't been many academic studies done on the effect of prayer on the person praying. My professor from seminary in my doctoral program, Dr. Susan Phillips, mentions one such study, and it compared intercessory prayer, where you're praying for other people. It compared liturgical prayer, where you're praying from a book, set prayers, conversational prayer, where you're just sort of talking to God about what's on your mind as it naturally comes up, and this kind of silence-centering prayer. And the study showed that the only form of prayer that leaves the prayer consistently with a greater sense of peace and well-being is this silent prayer. It's a receptive prayer. That doesn't mean the other kinds of prayers are wrong. I pray the other kind of prayers as well. But this has a special, I think, grace to be able to lift you up. And I pray for others too, but we don't have to worry, like if we miss a prayer, if I'm wanting to pray for my aunt who maybe has a really bad flu, but I forget, God knows about my aunt's situation. And so it's not like she's necessarily at risk, if that makes sense. So. Yeah, go ahead.
So, in this quietness, just as you said, if instead of just focusing on nothing.
Oh, you're not focusing on nothing. You're focusing on God. Yeah. That's why.
You know, just trying to listen to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a likely possibility. So I've been thinking about this a lot. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside you, right? And so I recently reached out to N.T. Wright. He's a very respected theologian in England. Reached out to probably the best theologian in our denomination, Gordon Smith. You know who Gordon Smith is? He teaches at Ambrose. Reached out to my friend Daryl Johnson, who's a very respected pastor in the city. So they all feel that if you are a person in whom Christ dwells, that if you're filled with the Spirit, you can't be demon-possessed. A demon can't come inside you. And if you're using the Bible and you're focusing on God and trusting the Holy Spirit, I think you can trust the Spirit to protect. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think it's necessarily any dangerous than, you know, biking, you know, down the street or playing underwater hockey or, you know, going to Milano's or whatever, Fable Diner. I don't think it's inherently any more dangerous, but what it will do is that it will lower her heart rate, it will give her a greater sense of calm, and if she can be open to God, for God to reveal her, mostly this is, for most people, it's really beneficial. I think some people are afraid of it, but even for secular people that engage in mindfulness practice, for the most part, it's beneficial. And that's why, you know, psychiatrists like Dan Siegel recommend this as, in some cases, not necessarily a replacement, but maybe an alternative to medication for people that are anxious and depressed. Dan Siegel says that in many cases, not all, if a person is experiencing anxiety and depression, a little bit of light exercise and meditation can actually help them overcome that. In some cases, medication is necessary, so I'm not saying it's bad or wrong or unnecessary, but yeah, this is mostly a very beneficial, salutary kind of practice. So, yeah, Connie?
Is this type of meditation for children?
Yeah.
So would you just encourage them the same way, shorter periods, mm-hmm. or would you prompt them? Like how you were prompting us to think certain things, would I be doing that with children to do?
Yeah, I'm not an expert when it comes to meditation in children. But yeah, in some of our elementary school class, I know in Joey's public school class, they do some mindfulness practice. So I think, yeah, it depends on the child. I would just start maybe with a couple of minutes and just go slowly. And even the act of breathing will lower a person's heart rate. And if Joey gets into a mood where he's flooded by an emotion, I remind him that the thought that is creating the emotion will tend to pass. And so if he can just breathe deeply, if he's really wound up, he'll say, this doesn't work for me, you know. But I think kids can be inculcated into this. And I think it's especially important in this age where kids are exposed to, you know, screens and their attention tends to be more easily distracted. This is precisely the kind of practice that can help them calm and improve their capacity to focus and to be centered. Yeah. Anyone else? Another minute or so. Good, well, we've got about a minute left, so I'll dismiss you in a moment. I just want to say this, a couple of things. One is, I'm sure you're busy, but this is the kind of practice where the busier my day, the more demanding my schedule, the bigger challenge I face in a given 24 hours, the more I need this. And so on a regular day, I might be up to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. But if I'm facing a very intense decision or a stressful situation, I will want to sit and meditate for like an hour. It gives me more. It makes me more creative. It makes me more calm. It makes me more fierce. So this is that kind of gift. The other thing too, and I mentioned this in a sermon recently, my wife said to me recently, Mikey, you can imagine this because you've been to our house many times, our niece. We're sitting at our counter in our kitchen, and at the end of dinner, she says that you've become like the butterfly. You were the caterpillar, you become like the butterfly. And she says, I think I know why. It's this practice of centering prayer and meditation. This is the kind of practice that will change you as you sit in the presence of God. And so the Apostle Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, especially at Lent, probably. He doesn't reference Lent. But be filled with the Spirit. And to quote another verse, as you sit in the Lord's presence, you will be transformed into his glory with ever-increasing glory. So sit and become like him and bless the children of the world. Thank you. We're at 11. God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance toward you and grant you his peace. Amen.